You are listening to a sermon from New City Veen.
Well, greetings, New City Veen. We are continuing our series on the book of Hebrews. Now, I say continuing is because we actually started our series last year, starting in April. So from April to about July, the end of July, we actually went through the first 9 chapters of Hebrews. And so today we'll be continuing that series. So if you're interested in actually catching up on our series on the book of Hebrews, feel free to go online at newcityveen.at, and all the sermons are posted online. So today, actually, we're going to be starting with Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. So if you have your Bibles, you could read with me. I'm going to read for us today Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. This is God's word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we do not live on bread alone, but by the very words that come from this book. And so we ask you now that you feed us, that you open our eyes to see your word, to see your truth. Be with us today. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've used a similar illustration in the past, but I want to use it again as we approach the book of Hebrews, because I think it'll help us understand really the framework of chapters 1 through 10. You know, during our time of quarantine, I've upgraded my coffee game, as people would say. There was a point where we ran out of coffee in our home, and so I actually had to resort to an old bag of Starbucks coffee from Christmas. You can imagine the taste of that. That is until Stephen actually told me that we could order from Balthazar online. And so, you know, the truth is, when you go from Starbucks to Balthazar, it's actually life-changing. Because now I've tasted something so much better that I can never go back to that old bag of Starbucks coffee beans from Christmas. Now, I don't want to hate on Starbucks. I know some people love Starbucks. By all means, that's okay. Now, I can't go back to that old bag of Starbucks coffee because I found something better. And Balthazar is 10 times better. In the same way, the writer of Hebrews wants his audience to taste, to see that there is something better. In the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, he's been trying to convince his audience that Jesus is better than anything they've ever experienced before. Therefore, the author is saying that the Old Testament laws aren't needed. He's saying this to the Jewish audience. He's saying the Old Testament laws aren't needed. Those rituals in the past, they can't save you. Only Jesus can. The same could be said for the Christian. The faith of a Christian means he or she tastes something far better than this world has to offer. Meaning we go from mediocre coffee to the best coffee once we taste Jesus. And so faith helps us see something better. Faith sees the unseeable. And that's our theme. That's our aim for today, for this text. Faith helps us see that Jesus is better. Let me say that again. Faith helps us see that Jesus is better. Therefore, we find the transition into chapter 11 with the hope that we, the audience, see Jesus. Before we go into chapter 11, let's have a quick glance to what's happening here. At the end of chapter 10, the author knows that the believer's faith is being tested. That's why he writes in chapter 10, starting with verse 32, he says this, "But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." In verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence." And then he concludes with Hebrews 10:38, and I'll just say one line. It says this, the righteous shall live by faith. These words were first expressed in Habakkuk and echoed throughout the New Testament. And so the author goes on to tell us about this faith. He tells us two things as we get into our passage. First, he defines faith. Second, he gives us examples of the faith. So that's our outline for today. First, in verses 1 to 3, he defines faith. And in verses 4 to 7, he gives us examples of the faith. And so let's go to our first point today. In the first section, as I just mentioned, he gives us a definition of faith. For some of us, the word faith can be such an abstract term. There have been many conversations on the subject of faith for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Faith, in its most simplest term, from a Christian worldview, is this: trusting in God. Trusting in God. And this is how I would actually define it if I were explaining it to a five-year-old. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God. However, the author uses the next couple of chapters in Hebrews, really fleshing this term out. And so he's helping us define these verses very narrowly and also broadly in verses 1 to 3. So the first thing that we find is that faith is assurance. Look at the first part of verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." Now, in some translations, instead of the word assurance, it'll say substance, which I think is a better translation. It can literally be translated as confidence or reality. And so I think this paints a better picture for us. Faith is the substance, the reality of things hoped for in the future. One writer says this, "Faith is substantial confidence in the reality of something not fully realized." Faith is a confident expectation. It gives us a confidence in the good things that is to come. And so that's the hope. And so think about this. The original audience needed hope in the time of persecution. Now, isn't that something we need right now? Maybe not persecution, but pandemic. You see, our present situations are maybe causing us to doubt God's truth and hope for us. Maybe we're having a hard time of trusting in God. The original audience, as I just read, was facing imprisonment. They're facing a loss of property. They're facing even death. We may be facing isolation. Maybe some of us are facing a loss of a job. Maybe some of us are facing sickness. And the writer of Hebrews is saying this: hold fast to your faith. Because faith gives us a present confidence and a reality into the future. Faith is certain that God and his promises are real. Some of us may not see the promises yet, but we know it's coming. The author continues. Second thing that we find is that faith is a conviction. Look at the latter part of verse 1. The conviction of things not seen. Faith is a conviction that God and his word are right and trustworthy. One translation puts it this way, which again, I think it's fairly accurate. It says faith is the proof of what is not seen. Now, I'm going to get to the actual proof in a moment, but think about this. Faith is not only the substance, but the evidence. Faith gives us proof that the things of the past are really true. You see, we haven't seen creation. We haven't seen God freeing his people from slavery out of Egypt. We haven't seen a king being born a baby in a lowly manger. We haven't seen the cross. We haven't seen the bloodshed body, the nail-pierced hands, and the resurrection. Therefore, faith is the confidence and the proof that the things which happened in the past, the history of the Bible, are true. And so let me ask you this. If we were able to see the world unfold from eternity past to present day and into the future, would it change how you see God today? Let me ask that again. If we were able to see the world unfold from eternity past to today and into the future, would it change how we see God, how we trust in God today? Faith gives you the proof that whatever God says and does is true, past, present, and future. Tim Keller says this, a Christian is somebody who is controlled by what happened. In other words, we're not controlled by emotions or circumstances. Those aren't bad things. But we are controlled by Jesus Christ, the steady rock of our salvation. As it says in him, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground, all other circumstances, all other emotions is sinking sand. Not only does he give us an assurance and conviction, he gives us an understanding. Faith is understanding. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The anchor to these definitions of faith rest in understanding God's word, the Bible. In other words, faith is not a blind faith. You see, biblical faith forces us to read, to listen to the Bible, and to think, to understand, and to eventually believe. To understand, as one commentary puts it, means to apprehend with reason. Faith isn't blind, but faith is revealed by the evidence seen through the creation and history of the world, which is found in his word, in the Bible. You see, a lot of times we let our emotions dictate our beliefs. Emotions are not bad things. I'm an emotional guy, a guy at times. You know, the things going on right now stir up a lot of emotions within my heart. And I'm sure the feeling is mutual. And if you want to understand and exercise the faith God has given to us, we need to be still. We need to look into his word, because his word is what drives our understanding. It's what drives our faith. And so this is important because the author doesn't just go on with abstract definitions of faith, but what does he do in verses 4 through 7 and the rest of chapter 11? He takes us to his word. He points really to the most famous stories of the Bible. And so that takes us to our second point in our passage. The author of Hebrews gives us examples of those who are faithful in Israel's past. It's what I call the examples of faith. Now remember, the author is writing specifically to a Jewish audience here. And so this audience, really, they needed proof, and he wanted to give them proof. And so the best proof he could give his audience is Israel's history. Because this Jewish audience, they know Israel's history like the back of their hand. And so these stories of faith fill chapter 11. And so I want us to just quickly look over the first three examples here. All these examples help us in our faith, whether we see it or not. The first example is Abel. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now, I'll do my best to summarize these stories because I think it'll help us in our faith as it did with the Jewish audience. You see, Abel's story helps us by how we worship. Abel's story helps us by how we worship. You see, the story of Cain and Abel, found in Genesis chapter 4, is that Cain killed his brother Abel. Both offered sacrifices to God. And so that wasn't the problem. These sacrifices were a form of worship to God. But it says in Genesis 4:4 that God had regard or had favor for Abel and not for Cain. And so this sets off the first murder in the history of the world, with Cain killing his brother Abel. Now, as mentioned, the problem wasn't the sacrifice. The problem wasn't in the gift itself. The problem wasn't how they worshiped God on the outside. The problem was on the inside. In our text, it says God commended Abel. Why? Because God saw the heart. It wasn't the sacrifice. It was the heart of worship in Abel. And so let me ask you, how do we worship today? For some of us, we can look the part and worship God Sunday after Sunday. We could sing songs, we could pray, we can do all the things that Christians do, but we can be empty on the inside. We can be faithless. And so that's what's happening here with Cain, in contrast to Abel. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's righteous. So let me ask you again, how do you worship? How is your heart today? Let Abel's example speak to you. Because that's what the writer says, doesn't he? Look at it. It says Abel's faith. Look at your text. It says Abel's faith still speaks to us. Next, we see Enoch's faith. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch's faith helps us in our walk. Enoch's faith helps us in our walk. Enoch's story is one of the most interesting stories in the Bible. His story is found in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 and following. And it's only four verses long, so let me go ahead and just read it for us. It says, when Enoch, this is Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah.
Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. You know what's amazing about this, other than God taking him and not seeing death? It says for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And so think about this again. If we were to go back 300 years ago from today, it would be 1720. How many catastrophes do you think happened since 1720? How many deaths, pandemics, or wars could we have experienced the past 300 years? Now, think about Enoch's time. Every day, for 300 years, he walked with God. Now, it's hard enough to keep the faith and walk with God the past 30 days of this lockdown. I'll be honest, my faith has been tested in small and big ways. Yet Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And so let me ask you this question. How's your walk today? And so let me encourage you, friends, to keep the faith, to walk with God day by day. Lastly, we'll conclude with Noah. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Abel's faith helps us with our worship. Enoch's faith helps us with our walk. Noah's faith helps us with courage and trust in the Lord. Noah, despite opposition, trusted God. You see, there is no evidence of rain, let alone Noah even knowing what rain was. And so for 100 years, Noah built the ark. 100 years. People laughed and mocked at him. And you think after year 77, he just kind of give up already. But what did he do? Well, for Noah, God's word, God's instructions for him, it was enough. It was enough for Noah to trust in the Lord for over 100 years. And so let me ask you, are you trusting in the Lord today, despite opposition? These stories help us in our worship, in our walk, in our trust in God. And so let me ask you, how's your worship? How's your walk with God? Are you trusting in the Lord? I'm going to conclude with verse 6. I purposely skipped it over, but it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In verse 6, it says, it is impossible to have a relationship with God without faith. And the second part of this verse is just as important because he's calling us to not look at ourselves, but to believe in something better. The narrative in the Bible can be traced in one single thread that points to Jesus Christ. These small stories fall under one big story. You see, Jesus is the better Abel because his blood did not condemn us, but set us free from condemnation. Jesus is the better Enoch because Jesus left the perfect fellowship with the Father to walk with us here on earth, eventually die in order to take us to God. Jesus is the better Noah, because as people laughed and mocked at him on the cross, by doing the Father's will, Jesus says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so, friends, see the unseen person behind the faith, who is Jesus Christ. Taste and see that he is better today. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you will allow us to see and to taste how sweet the gospel is. Not only today, but tomorrow and the next day until you take us home. Lord Jesus, just be with our hearts. Help us to trust in you. Help us to worship you. Help us to walk with you and to think and to have our eyes set on you. And may your word continually speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.